Haideți să deschidem Sfânta Scriptură la Daniel 3, versetele 16 la 18. So for the English sermon today, please open your Bibles at the book of Daniel, chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Amen. Around the year 600 before Christ, King Nebuchadnezzar comes. He brings his counselors, he brings his administrators and says, I will build a god. And I want every person from my empire, every person from every nation to worship this god. And there's three young men that very important, they were slaves. And these three young men, they have the guts, they dare to say no to the king, to oppose the king. And the king said, I'll make it very simple and very short for you today. You either worship my God or you end up in the burning furnace, in the fire. You see, if you take a ball of clay and you put it in the sun, you leave it a couple hours, you'll come back after a couple hours and you'll just find a simple ball of clay. But if you take that ball of clay and you put it in the fire, after a couple hours or after a few hours, you will find porcelain. It's so sad, my dear brothers and sisters, that today so many Christians, they don't like the status of porcelain. And they just like to remain clay. The burning furnace, brothers and sisters, is the symbol of the trial. God didn't promise us that we won't have trials. But God promised us that he will be with us through those trials. God didn't promise you that you won't have cancer, but God promised you that he will be with you through that cancer. God didn't promise you that you won't fall, but he promised you that he will help you raise up. God didn't promise you that you won't be in pain, but he promised you that he will be with you. God didn't promise us that we won't have problems, but he promised us that he will be with us through those problems. Îndrăzniți, be of a good cheer, he says, I overcome the world. And the message of tonight is called Standing in the Fire. Standing in the fire. Stând în mijlocul focului. Stând în picioare în foc. It's one to stay in front of the fire. It's another thing to stay behind the fire. But it's so much difficult and so much harder to be able to stand in the midst of the fire, to stand in the middle of the fire. And tonight we're going to look really short at three aspects in order to stand up, to stand in the fire. First of all, my beloved brothers and sisters, church tonight, we need to be strong in front of the compromise. We need to be strong in front of the compromise. These three young men, brothers and sisters, they are in a very, very difficult situation. They already lost their names. Their real names were Anania, Mishael, and Azaria. And their names in Babylon, they were changing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they are in a very, very, very difficult, very tough situation. At a very young age, they lost their names, they lost their identity, and now they're about to lose their God as well. And they could have just said, you know, let's just back the track up. Let's just back the track up a little bit. You know, maybe it's okay if we worship this God. I mean, we're young. We are the future of Israel. If we will die, who's going to fight for Israel? Maybe they could have said, you know what? It's a different culture. We are strangers here. We're from Israel. This is Babylon. They give us food. They give us a place to stay. It's a different culture. We have to understand that. That's what a lot of people say. It's a different culture. We don't live in Romania. We're not in 1970s, 1980s. We are in America. This is 2015. Wake up. But I'm telling you tonight, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Maybe these three young men, they could have said, you know what? If the king is asking us to do this, I mean, you can't say no to the king. You know, even Jesus Christ says later on, give God what's God's and to Caesar what's Caesar. If Nebuchadnezzar asks us one thing, we got to be politically correct. Maybe they could have said, you know what, we will do this, we will worship this God, but in our hearts, we'll still be committed to our Lord. But the Bible says that from the depths of your heart comes the rivers of life. Or maybe he could have said, you know what, we will worship this God, we're not going to die, and then we're going to ask for repentance. We're going to ask for forgiveness. Let's just be intimate just one more time. Let's lie one more time. Let's cuss one more time. Let's judge one more time. Let's cheat one more time. Let's betray one more time. Because God is so merciful. He's so great that He will forgive us. But brothers and sisters, these three young men, they remembered about their God. They remembered about Genesis. They remembered about Exodus. They remembered about Deuteronomy 6. Să iubești pe Domnul Dumnezeului tău cu toată inima, cu tot sufletul și cu tot cugetul. That means be strong in front of the compromise, loving your God. You know, a pastor from Florida said, in our church, we were worshiping God and we had a song saying, Jesus, we just want you. We don't want anything other than you, God. Take everything away from us because all we desire is you. And he said in 2015, Hurricane Katrina came, and that's when God came into our lives. And God took everything. He took our jobs, He took our properties, He took our assets, He took everything, and then that's when He came into our lives. Because that's how God works. He says, you want me? Then I will come, but I will take everything else away from you. And he says, overnight, from 300 people, I woke up with 3,000 in my church, because that's how God works. That's how God works. Brothers and sisters, people from outside, they don't need to see Christians that are flexible. They're going to the left and to the right, however the wind blows today, however the wind blows tomorrow. They need to see Christians that are real. They need to see Christians that are solid, Christians that are rigid, Christians that whatever they have in their mind, that's what they have in their brain, that's what they have in their heart, that's what they have in their soul, that's what they have in their lips, that's what they have in their actions, in their attitudes. Christians that are pure. Do you understand? Pure in your relationship with your boyfriend, pure in your relationship with your girlfriend, pure in your relationship with your wife, pure in your relationship with your husband, with your friends, with the people around you, pure and clean in your relationship with God. How is it possible? How is it possible people that were standing up in front of the communist regime in Romania and here, for $1,000 or $2,000, they're ready to cheat the system, to cheat the taxes. Cheat their brothers and their sisters that they go to church with for a little bit of profit. If we're not going to be faithful in small things, we're not going to be faithful in bigger things either. And if we're going to make small compromises, we will surely make big compromises as well. Brothers and sisters, if we want to be able to stand in the midst of the fire, first of all, we got to be strong. Strong in front of the compromise. Second of all, if you want to stand in the fire for God, the second thing that you do, you got to be strong in the decision that you made. Strong in the decision that you made. Nebuchadnezzar comes with three approaches. And the first approach is the philosophy of this world. And he comes kind of the same way that Satan came to Jesus. After Jesus was fasting and praying for 40 days and 40 nights, Satan comes and says, do you see all these kingdoms? Do you see all these things of this world? They all belong to me. Just worship me right now and I'll give you everything. And that's how Nebuchadnezzar comes. He says, do you see the God that I made? No, for real. You can open your eyes. You can open your eyes. You can touch it if you want it. Do you see the gold? Do you see the design? Do you see how beautiful it is? This is the God that I made. This is the philosophy of this world. If you like it, do it. Who cares? Enjoy yourself. Please yourself. Satisfy yourself. Solomon was a man that lived to the fullest. This man had 1,000 wives. He spent over $85 billion just in the temple. He took 13 years to build his own house. And after all this, he comes up with an emo face saying, I don't know what's happiness. I'm so upset. Pentru că în lumea asta tot e deșertăciune și goană după vânt. Because the only one that can give us everlasting happiness is Jesus Christ. Praise be His name. After the philosophy of this world, the second approach that that Nebuchadnezzar comes with is the cultural approach. He says here in Daniel, when you're going to hear the music, when you're going to hear the trumpets, the guitars, that's when I want you to worship this God. Nebuchadnezzar knew really good the power of the music. Music makes you cry. Music brings an emotion, stir an emotion inside of you. Music makes you smile. Music makes you dance. He knew very well that what goes through someone's ears, that message goes into someone's heart. And here it raises up a question. Why this big gap of generations into our churches today? Why older people, they don't like younger people's music? Because hey, it's too loud. It bothers my ears. It's not godly. Why younger people, they don't like older people's music? Because hey, it's too expired, it's too mellow, it's too soft. I don't know, it's kind of boring. And I'm not trying to emphasize on music, but what I'm trying to tell you is this night. A real music, a good music, is a godly music. A music that incites you to violence, a music that incites you to pornography, a music that incites you to crime, that music, it's a bad music. And you're never going to be able to take a music and a style from outside and just put it on some Christian verses, because it ain't going to work. The real music is a music that is rooted in Christ, a music that is originated in God. And when that style, when that music is originated in God, then it doesn't matter if it's a little too mellow, it doesn't matter if it's a little too soft, it doesn't matter if it's a little too loud, because through that music I enter into the presence of the Lord. If through that music I feel the power of the Holy Spirit, if through that music I feel that connection with God, then that's the music that we should sing. Then that's the music that should be heard in our churches, in our phones, in our lives, in our ears. He tried with the philosophy of this world. He tried the second approach, the cultural approach. He tried the musical approach. And the third approach is a very weak one. He comes up and says, you know what, if you're not going to do it, I just have one last thing for you. There you go. You have the burning furnace. You have the fire. And I like these guys. I like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Our God that we serve, my God that I serve, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't understand. You know, you don't understand. This is my God that I serve. This is not a God that I'm making today and I'm breaking tomorrow. No. This is not my mom's, my dad's God. This is not my friend's God, not necessarily my pastor's God. No. This is my God that I serve. Do you understand that? This is Alpha and Omega. This is the beginning and the end. This is the past, the present, and the future. He's right here next to me. I might not see him, but he's right here in this church. I might not touch him, but he's embracing me. This is the lover of my soul. This is the God that is alive. This is my God that I serve. And we do not care if we're going to be just three people standing up in front of this whole crowd, because we will stand up for what we believe in. We will stand up for God. We will stand up for the truth. Because this is my God that I serve. And I was thinking, maybe sometimes our voices and our songs should be heard beyond the walls of a church. Maybe our songs sometimes should be heard beyond the walls of a home. And I was so impressed about 2 years when I was in Romania, and in my home church there, I saw these young people in the summer, a few weekends. They would go in a very organized way in 9 parks of the city, and they would just clean the trash. And after they would do this, they would start singing. And people came to church. People came to see them. A few of them came to church. Not too many, but one or two remained. It was a little bit of effort. Richard Wurmbrand, and I told you this story, he was saying that in that night, in that Christmas night, when he was in that hospice, and he had that man, that brother in Christ that suffered on the right side of the bed, and on the left side, he has that former guard that now became a prisoner. And that former guard crying wanted to accept Jesus in his life. He wanted to ask for forgiveness. And his brother in Christ go to the other guy's bed, and they start praying. In that night, they both died saved. And after all this sin, Richard Wurmbrand comes and says, I will give another 14 years of my life today. 14 years of being beaten, spitten, 14 years of spending in these communist prisons just to see a soul saved like that. For this man, it was worth all the drama. For me, isn't it worth it, a little bit of effort? To bring a soul to Christ, brothers and sisters, because that's what counts. That's what remains. When James Calver decided to go and do this ministry in Fiji, his friend said, you know you're going to a suicide mission. You know you're going to die there. Those people are cannibals there. They will kill you. You die. It's a suicide mission. And James Calver looked at them and said, I'm already dead. I've been dead since the first day I decided to go there. Because I don't live for today. I don't live for my retirement. I don't live for my pension plan. I don't live for this life. I live for heaven. My life is for heaven. That's my future. That's my goal. That's where my treasure is. Living for heaven. You are here tonight. But I don't know where the course of life will take you in a year, two, three, five, ten. But I know one thing, and one thing for sure, that wherever you'll be, my beloved brother and sister, you'll need to be a person that is strong in the decision that he or she made. A person that has that message of a Christian born again in his soul, in his heart, on his lips, in his actions, and in his attitudes. Don't forget about Hebrews 11:25 that says that through faith and nothing other than faith, Moses decided to suffer with God's people rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of the sin. Because the sin will give you a pleasure that will take this much. But God will give you a pleasure that will take an eternity. Standing up in the decision that you made. And then last, strong knowing who you serve. Let's go again. If you want to put it on the screen, please, again, verses 17 and 18 from Daniel 3. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will worship the gold image which you have set up. Well, in a situation like this, a lot of people will probably ask themselves, what is faith good at? I believe that faith is good at keeping us strong in front of the reality. Well, if you have cancer and you go and you say, praise God that I have cancer. Praise God that I'm in trials. That means you don't know your God. But you have to say, praise God that even through cancer, even through difficulties, even through trials, God is with me. I don't know why all these things are happening to me, but guess what? I am trusting my God. I am trusting my Lord. And I know that one day he will reveal me the plan that he has for me. Nebuchadnezzar, we're not some blind rabbits here. We see the burning furnace. We see the fire. We acknowledge the fact that you have the power to throw us in the fire. But our God will save us. And even if he's not going to save us, because at the end of the day, he's sovereign. He decides what he does with our lives. Even if he's not going to save us, we're still not going to worship you. And we're still not going to worship your God. We're still going to be faithful to our God. Why? Why worship your gods? For what? For a position in your kingdom? For a little bit of money? Why? Why, my beloved young people, brothers and sisters, why be a celebrity? Why end up committing suicide, end up on drugs, end up, I don't know, in this sick, evil disease, going man for man and woman for woman? A lot of people say, oh, I'm a Christian. If I would win at the lottery, the jackpot, I would give this much to the church, give this much to the poor people. And the statistics talk about 80, 90% of those people that do win, they lose everything in the next 5 years. Why? Why doing all these things? I remember at 22 years old, that's a little personal here, I bought myself a car. I bought myself a BMW, and it was a nice car, but it wasn't brand new. But you know what? I worked for that car, and I was very proud at that moment in my life. And like a little child, I remember I would go in the garage in the night and I would look at the car and look at the wheels and go inside and just you know, be so comfortable. And I was so proud of my achievement, if I can call it an achievement. But you know what? After a few months, I remember I would drive the car and I would be like, how silly I was that I bought this car. I all that accomplishment, all that happiness was gone. I didn't see a brand car. All I saw was an engine on four wheels. Because, brothers and sisters, these things of this world were never going to bring us happiness. The only one that can bring us happiness, the only one that can fulfill our souls and our goals and our needs is Jesus Christ. It's a different type of happiness. It's a different type of pleasure. It's a sustained one. It's a sustained one. You know, if you want to see God in heaven, if you want to meet God in heaven, you first need to meet him in the burning furnace. If you want to meet God in heaven, first you got to meet him in the fire. Because I will tell you something, if you don't meet Jesus here, you won't meet him there either. So is it worth it? Is it worth it? Yes, we're gonna stand up in the fire, but is it worth it? What's the prize at the end of the day? Yes, it's worth it. Brothers and sisters, se merită să stai în foc pentru Hristos. It's worth to stand in the fire for Christ. What? First of all, the first prize is a miracle. People won't see a miracle if you act like them. People won't see a miracle in you if you talk like them, if you joke at their jokes, if you laugh at their jokes, if you go where they go, if you behave like they behave. No, they will just see someone exactly like them, but above all, he's a hypocrite as well. But people will see a miracle in you when you act different in front of the compromise. Even there, when you are in that burning furnace, the only thing that will be burned will probably be the chains of the sin, the ties of the sin. Because God is with you. When you don't have money to pay for your mortgage, God is with you. When you don't have money for food, God is with you. When your daughter brings shame upon your family, God is with you. When your son brings a shame or he leaves and you have no clue where he is, God is with you. God is with you when your husband divorces you. God is with you when your wife divorces you. God is with you when you are in the surgery and you don't know what's going to happen. God is with you when you have cancer. God is with you when the doctor sends you home, giving you a couple weeks to live. God is with you. He's with you even at the gates of the cemetery. God is still there with you. He's with you in the burning furnace and he's holding your hand. Nebuchadnezzar comes and says, "What's going on? I threw up three people here. I see four. And the fourth one has the face of a son of God because God is with you. He's holding your hand there saying, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will be with you until the end of times. Praise would be his name. I'll be with you until the end of time. That's a real promise. That's a real promise. A miracle, first of all. It's worth to stay in the fire for a miracle. And you know what else? It's worth to stay in the fire because people from outside, they will praise God. In 1 Corinthians, the Bible says that we will all have to be put to the fire test to be seen what we're made of, if we're made of bricks or we're made of straws. And this past week, I was reading from Acts 28, the last chapter of Acts, in that moment when Apostle Paul, after a big storm, him and the crew that he was with, they end up on this island, Malta. And on this island, they end up there and they try to make some fire. And the Bible says that a poison viper jumps on Paul and bites Paul. You know, when I was reading this, I was thinking like from all these people there, from all that crew, their natives were there too. And they showed an unexpected kindness. That viper jumps exactly on Paul and bites him. And now very interesting. The Bible says that the natives, they were talking, mumbling, whispering. Oh, you see. You see, he escaped the water, he escaped the storm, he escaped the sea. But the justice doesn't let him leave. Brothers and sisters, a church, everyone's holy. Here, we put up the best makeup that we have. It's the best suit. You know, even when we talk to each other, we're trying to find our words because, hey, we are in church, so we got to be spiritually correct. But when you are outside, you know, people might know that you're a Christian, but you might show your true colors. You might talk like them, you might cuss like them, and they look at you and they judge you every single moment. You know, Paul could have said, Jesus, God, really? I mean, after everything that we've been through, after all your promises, after all the miracles that you've done with me, you're going to let me die here with these barbarians being killed by a viper? But no, he's calm. Because he knows what kind of God he serves. He's calm because he knows what kind of God he serves. You know what that tells me? That tells me that a real Christian that wants to stand up in the fire, a real Christian that stands in the midst of the fire, is the Christian that whatever he's preaching, that's what he's living. Whatever he's singing or she's singing, that's what he's living. Whatever you're reading, that's what you're living. Whatever you're believing, that's what you're living. Wherever your faith is, every day of your life, that's what you're living. It doesn't matter the moment. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Because I live this Bible. I live the truth. And the Bible said that they thought that he's a God. He wasn't a God. Paul wasn't a God. But he was a son of a God. When you act like that, people will see God in you. And people will see you as a son, as a child of God. You know what they will see? They will see that you're made of porcelain. You're not made of clay. People will praise God through your life. So in conclusion, brothers and sisters, standing in the fire, standing in the fire. How do I do this? Again, first of all, I got to be strong in front of the compromise. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm not going to compromise myself with the sin. No, I'm not just going to go with the flow. So what if everyone does it? I don't do it. I'm different. I'm trying. I'm fighting. Standing up, standing in the fire. How do I do it? I do it by being strong in the decision that I made. You know, when you were 18, 20, 30, 40, 50 years old, I don't know, there was a moment in your life when you said, God, I want to give you all my life. And you came in a church somewhere and you got baptized. And that's when you promised in front of the angels, in front of God, in front of the pastors, in front of the people that were there, in front of your family. You said, from this moment on, God, I will serve you for the rest of my life. I know it's not going to be easy. I know it's going to be hard. I know I'm going to fall, but I will do my best to serve you. Și cântăm cântarea aceea, m-am hotărât să-L urmez pe Iisus. M-am hotărât să-L urmez pe Iisus și înapoi eu nu voi da. Adică conștientizez, admit faptul că am avut un trecut. Am avut un trecut în care nu mi-a păsat de Dumnezeu, nu mi-a păsat de planul Lui, nu. I-am întors spatele, dar Doamne, îmi pare rău, mă pocăiesc și de acum încolo îți promit că toată viața vreau să o petrec cu Tine. And you made that promise at a point in your life, but God made a promise that He will take care of you before you even born in this world. He takes care of you and His promise is fulfilled every second of your life. Isn't it worth it for us to be able to be strong in the decision that we once made? And third of all, if you want to stand in the fire, you got to be strong, knowing your God, knowing who you serve. I feel so bad when I see people, brothers and sisters, sometimes they don't know God, and you see something terrible, horrifying happening in their lives, a crime, a girl raped, or cancer, or some disease, and they have no hope, they have nowhere to go, and they're broken in pieces, and sometimes they're turning against God, and they start cussing at God, and they're so mad, you know, in their madness, and I look at them, and I feel so bad, and I say, God, why did you choose me? Well, I wasn't better than those other people, why did you choose me? I have God. It doesn't matter the situation. It doesn't matter how tough it is. I have a God. I come with my blessings. I come with my questions. I come with my problems. I come with everything that I have. And He responds. He gives me hope. He heals my heart. He heals my soul. He gives me a new life. You have a God. You have a God that is alive. You're not praying in front of an echo. You're not praying in front of an old wall. You're praying in front of a God that is alive and that answers you every day of your life. Why not standing in the fire? And in the end, I just want to end up with an illustration. You know how, and I was thinking yesterday about this. You know how I see this life with God? It's like a flight. You know, if you want to go to Arizona or somewhere else in the United States, you would have to pay a few hundred dollars for a flight. Now, if you want to go to another continent, you might want to pay a few thousand dollars. Now, it depends what kind of package you get. But if you'd want to take a flight to heaven, no one will take you there because they can't. And even if they could, you would never be able to afford a ticket to heaven. This life with God stays like this. I want to go to heaven, but I can't pay the price. I go to the airport and the pilot is God. He comes and says, you know what? It's free. I have a ticket. I have a ticket for you. It's just one ticket, but it's yours. You don't have to pay anything because the ticket was paid by Jesus Christ on the Calvary 2,000 years ago when he standing with his hands there dying for your sins and for my sins. All you have to do is get into this airplane and obey my rules. Brothers and sisters, when we go into an airplane, we obey what the pilot says. Whatever he says, it's a law. Well, why not obey God's rules? Why not obey God when He's the pilot? You know what? For some of us, this flight is longer. For some others, this flight is shorter. Sometimes it's bumpy. Sometimes you feel like throwing up. Sometimes you feel like giving up. Sometimes it's not that comfortable. But I want to tell you something. I trust this flight because the pilot is God and the destination is heaven. God bless you. Amen.